Do you feel that sometimes your home is more topsy-turvy than peaceful? You need to know that we've all been there at times. Our guest today has some practical strategies that she has incorporated into her home, and she's going to share them with us. And my hope is that we all feel more peaceful in our home in spite of the chaos that goes on in our day-to-day life. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the American Mother's Mom to Mom podcast, a show that lifts, encourages, supports, and educates mothers to do their best in their awesome responsibility to raise, teach, and champion the rising generation. Join us as we talk to and answer questions from mothers nationwide about the challenges, heartbreaks, joys, and lessons learned from one mother to another.
Welcome to American Mother's Mom to Mom podcast. I am your host, Deanne Taylor. I'm so happy to have you with me today as I introduce Katina Alami. She was chosen as the 2023 Kentucky Mother of the Year. She is a mother to seven adopted children. She is a graduate of Eastern Kentucky University with a degree in elementary education. She homeschools all of her children who have special needs. Now that would be a challenge. Katina uses her expertise in her community by teaching middle school and high school online courses as part of a cooperative for homeschooling families. Katina is the author of Hindsight, A Story of Faith and Family, which details her experience working within the foster system and the miracles she has seen in the process of adoption. What a story, Katina. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to get my story out there, but to also share the things that I have learned in this process. I'm not really sure if you know a little bit about my background with this hindsight story, but at 25, I was diagnosed with premature ovarian failure. And what that means is that my ovaries had decided to just dispose of all of my eggs and that I had started menopause early. And so due to this diagnosis, my husband and I, obviously, we couldn't have children. And so we began looking into the process of adoption. I guess didn't really want to start with foster care, but after some prayerful pondering, that's where it landed us, is in the foster system and looking to that system. But regardless, our idea in our head, we thought we were going to foster a baby and we were going to be the best foster parents. God has different plans and the government has different plans. And so they decided to give us a five-year-old girl instead of a baby. And we went from 0 to 7 children in 3 years from the foster system. So the word instant family is something that, you know, our family is the definition of because of how quickly they came to us.
Well, the thing I just want to interject something right here. You made a statement in something you've provided me is making your home a refuge. Mm-hmm. And you would have to learn to do that pretty quickly when you have that many children so quickly. What are their age span?
So they span from 6 is my youngest and my oldest is almost 16. So there's like two different groups. We have an older group of teenagers. We have 16, 14, 14, 14, and then a group of a 10 and an 8 and a 6-year-old. So it's like two different groups, two different families, but we're blending them together and making us one family.
That is amazing. So tell me, how did you come up with your making your home a refuge idea, creating love at home by making it feel like a safe, peaceful place with all those children? I mean, the teenagers, all that many teenagers. I mean, really, I had three at a time, but they were different ages. They weren't all 14.
Yeah. So it's been a challenge because, with my children, they all have trauma and different types of trauma, which has led them to different kinds of life experiences. So when we took these foster classes, they told us one thing, that there's a reason why these kids are in foster care, because sometimes you forget, but they all have different unique qualities and characteristics that we try to focus on to make them shine, basically, as children and help in the community and in the family. But my kids came with a lot of misconceptions with how a family unit is supposed to work, what love means, you know, building that foundation of trust that children typically have with their caregivers, that wasn't present. And so these seven things that I'm going to share with you in making your home a refuge can really help increase that love and build that foundation of trust, and help them understand how a family unit works and give them peace and helps avoid chaos, basically, in our lives and in our families. And these are just things that I have picked up, and I had to figure them out very quickly, that I hope that will help some other parents and moms out there as they implement them with their own children.
Perfect. Let's get into those, because we want to have give you enough time to share these principles with us.
Yes, absolutely. So like I said, my kids are from foster kids. So kids in today, I think just across the board, they're all exposed to a lot of things in our society that are not really age appropriate for their development. We hear things all the time, kids being exposed to abuse, drugs, pornography, just some examples. And those things kind of hit closer and closer to home each day. Let me give you some statistics here. As COVID happened back in 2019, 2021, the CDC put out this statistic that said that it's been estimated that there was about 37 to 42% of teenagers in high school who felt feelings of hopelessness, sadness, depression, anxiety. And then after COVID, you would think things would go down a little bit because we're coming back together out of this pandemic. That number didn't go down. It just continued to increase. So from 2022 to even today, it started at 44%. They might estimate it. That number is a little bit higher among teenagers with sadness, depression, anxiety, those things. Wow. And so how do we as parents combat this society whose influence is constantly targeting our children? And that's where these steps come in. So my first step and how to transform your home is to have a positive attitude, that you have to set the tone for your home. You have to be positive, upbeat, and gracious. And I will be the first to tell you that I get frustrated all the time, and I am not perfect at this. But I understand that when those times come that I do get frustrated, those things are mirrored in my children. Everybody else is frustrated too. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this.
Oh, I totally can. Real quickly, I finally learned to tell my children, this is not a good day for me. So yes. I'm telling you up front, if you want a yes answer, you probably better not ask me today. Because sometimes, I mean, they need to know that you have those feelings too, but you don't have to exhibit them. You can share the frustration without taking it out on your kids or exhibiting that frustration.
Yes, absolutely. And I have learned, Deanne, how to do that too. And just say, hey, give me 5 minutes. Mom needs a timeout. I put myself in timeout sometimes. And I say, Mom needs a timeout.
I think that's the best thing to do. I started doing that too. And my kids go, okay, got it, Mom.
Yes, absolutely. So, but there are times, you know, when I do have, on the other hand, I'm happy, sing-songy, literally, I see my children's attitudes change. So sometimes, just as an example, if I've asked my children to pick up the toys in the living room, I might have asked them like three times, and knowing that they're not listening to me, I just literally start to sing. And I might sing like, come pick up your toys, pick them up right now. If you pick them up, you will get a high five. Like, it doesn't even have to make sense or rhyme, but I see the switch. Even in my teenagers, they might roll their eyes and they might be like, oh my goodness, Mom, I can't believe you're singing this right now. But it gets done because the attitude changed.
Right.
And so they were able to listen.
That's a good point.
All right, so that's number one. My second tidbit, how to transform your home, is through service. So A lot of times we use manners in our home. We're trying to teach our kids good manners. So I'm talking about, you know, please, thank you, excuse me, learning how to say I'm sorry. Those things are good manners that you as a parent probably want to show by example and how to do those things. But also it could be just doing one another's chores for them or cooking a special treat for each other. I hate doing the dishes. And so my son knows this. So when I've had a hard day, he steps up and he's like, I got you, Mom. I'm going to do the dishes tonight. And I do that vice versa. I say, oh, it's okay. You were sick yesterday. I'll get your chore done, your vacuuming done for today. And leading by that example and doing those things helps your family appreciate each other and those experiences that you have with each other. But it could also be like, my husband really likes oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. So I'll sometimes pull the kids and I'll say, let's make cookies for dad tonight because he has a hard day at work and I know he'll appreciate this when he gets home. And so we do those things together as a family because we know what each other likes and we want those bonding experiences.
I like that you're doing service within your family. Sometimes when I think of service, you have to be outside your family. And I think you learn better and best if you learn to serve your family members first.
Oh, absolutely. And it all starts in the home. We have to set this example for them.
Right.
So my third point has to do with needs. And as parents, sometimes we feel like we're pros at this. We understand what kids need. We understand that they need food, they need shelter, they need clothing. Those are all physical things that we need to provide for them. But under needs, there are like four subtopics that I would say, because there's more than just physical needs that we as parents need to be able to provide for our kids. There's emotional needs, there's social needs, there's intellectual needs, as well as those physical needs. And we need to be mindful of those. So I want to kind of touch on briefly on each of those types of needs. A huge chunk of this is where I found success. So obviously physical needs kind of ties in with emotional needs. I'll tell you this story. One of my children came into care and she hoarded food because she did not know where her next meal was going to come from. And so we had to teach her that we were going to provide for her. So we're not only going to meet her physical need, but we're going to meet her emotional need too, because she needs to understand that we are going to be there for her and be her family. And so we took a snack basket and I filled it with these healthy snacks and I set it on the counter in the kitchen. And I said, at any time, you can go and get something out of this basket if you're hungry. And at first, she didn't trust me. She went to her room, took the snacks out, and held on to them for a little while. But then as I consistently left that snack basket on the counter, she realized, oh, it wasn't going anywhere. And she stopped doing that. And so I decided to kind of up the game a little bit. And I put that snack basket into the pantry with the door shut. And I said, the snack basket is still here. You can still go whenever you want to and get a snack out. And that's just what she did. She just needed to know that it was there and available to her. And over time, she didn't even need the snack anymore. She was able to realize we met that physical need, but built that emotional connection because she was able to know that it was there. Her needs were going to be provided for. So the next, I'm going to go into this because we're already talking about her emotional needs that she had, is me and my husband started doing this with our kids. We started doing one-on-one time and we interviewed our kids during this time. Now it sounds kind of silly to do that, but once a month, at least we try to do this more often, but once a month we would set a time where we would talk to our kids. It doesn't have to be structured. It could be, for me, I like going and getting ice cream at Dairy Queen. So we would go get a Blizzard or we would go get a burger sometimes. But it could be, if you're limited with funds, just sitting down and playing a game and just talking to each other. You have no idea what your kids just kind of bottle up and they just kind of let out when you sit and talk to them. But it also helps you get to know your kids. There are times when I have been like, I'm going to do this cute mom thing where everybody in my family gets a different color thing, water bottle, pencil sharpener, whatever, backpack, everybody gets a different color. But there are times when I got the wrong color for my children They did not like that color that I picked out, but I didn't know that until I sat down and interviewed them and just talked to them. I didn't realize they didn't like pink. They wanted orange, which was crazy and unusual to me because I thought that they liked pink. But if you take that time to check in on your kids' emotional well-being and get to know them, it really does help bring peace and set boundaries in your home, basically.
We did the one-on-one too, and they got to where they looked forward to it.
Yes,
and they knew, and my when my husband interviewed me, says, "You can tell me anything, any issues you're having, doesn't go out of this room." And one time I was asked a question by one of my children. I go, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, Dad didn't tell you?" "No, was he supposed to?" "No, never mind, Mom." So that helped develop trust too.
Yes, absolutely. And there's things that they would rather talk to Dad about than me.
Right. So, oh, absolutely.
Right. So it works. So my other two needs kind of go hand in hand too. So social needs. Do you know who your kids' friends are? Who are they hanging out with? What conversations are they having? And for us, since we're homeschool families, I really had to look at providing outlets for them to have friends and for them to cultivate those friendships. So my kids, we found these extracurriculars. They do cross country and track, and I know their teammates. I know their teammates' parents. So I know if they look at me and they say, "Hey, after practice, I'm going to go to so-and-so's house and we're going to hang out." Great. I got that because I have talked to their friends. I've talked to their parents, and I know that they're going and participating in safe, wonderful, good, uplifting conversations and activities. And so as parents, sometimes we've got to look at our kids' friends and see what we can do to help them cultivate those positive friendships. My next need is intellectual. I say be invested in your child's education. As a parent, do you know what your kids are learning in school? Ask your children what they're learning in school. To ask them and be specific, like ask them if they went to algebra class today, what did you learn in algebra? What notes did you take? Sometimes I get surprised and I say, "Oh, Mom, we learned about the Pythagorean theorem." "Ooh, what's that?" And then it opens this conversation for you to have this discussion, and it helps you as your parent tell them, I guess subconsciously, that education is important, and be there for them and take this journey together, that it's not just all about them having to learn certain principles or skills or values, because ultimately you as the parent are the nurturer of their thoughts, of their opinions, of their beliefs, no matter what the topic, even if it's the Pythagorean theorem, anything. It could just, you got to fill their minds with appropriate content, and just don't take it for granted that their teachers or even other people in the community are doing that for them.
So something I thought of, so when they come home from school, you don't say, "How was your day?"
Right.
You do. You need to be more specific about, mm-hmm. "Oh, algebra, how are you doing in that?" Or whatever, or what did you, I like the idea of what did you learn? Not just what are you doing in that? Because, oh, nothing. They're one word answers if they get away with it.
Right. Exactly. So we got to be specific when we talk to them, because we've got to open up the dialogue and communicate our thoughts.
Right.
My next tidbit is organization. So a tidy place can really contribute to a sense of peace. And also it helps reduce anxiety and tension. So I have a couple of kids who have anxiety and some PTSD. And so we make sure that everything in my home has a place because they really need it. And each night before dinner, I might set a timer for like 10 to 15 minutes. And their job is to put away all of the things that were left out from the day of homeschooling or playing or whatever. But taking that time really does help them relax and calm down, because there's not just an orderly chaos lying around everywhere. But in addition to having a tidy place, we also have to have a good schedule. So keeping my kids on a schedule has helped phenomenally, help sometimes curb their behaviors. They don't transition very well from one thing to the next, but if we have a schedule, they know what to expect. So in my kitchen, I put this really big dry erase calendar on my wall. And every week at the beginning of the week on Monday nights, we sit down together as a family and we say, what do we have going on for the week? And we put those announcements on the calendar, whether it's appointments, extracurricular activities, lessons, whatever it may be, it goes on the calendar so that the kids know what to expect and they can try to, I guess, check their behavior so that we can meet our responsibilities as a family that week because they know what's coming.
Something else that's good about doing a schedule is everybody know where everybody is.
Yes.
And I think that's important. So if there's an issue, you know where people are.
Absolutely. And that's been very helpful for us. My next point is God, to make spirituality a part of your home, because that 100% will bring a sense of peace, no matter what your values. If you have standards, values, a moral code to live by, teach it to your children, because I promise you, it's the difference between hope and hopelessness with them. Think back to that CDC tidbit that I gave you. This helps them when they have a moral compass to live by. So I'm Christian, so I teach my children about a loving Heavenly Father and about Jesus Christ, and that has given them hope. They know that all isn't lost, that people can change, and that they personally, my children, can break the cycle of abuse and be better than the generation before. But it also gives them accountability when you teach them standards and values. Gives them accountability for their choices and not the choices of others, their friends, or in my kid's case, their birth parents. We want to teach them a better way.
That's really, really good.
My next point is nature. So in my home, I don't have any blinds except in my bedroom. And I live in a busy neighborhood, but I wanted to let the light in because it is so needed when kids are feeling this dark and hopelessness and sadness in their lives, that bringing that natural light in can help them feel peace and reduce anxiety as well. So I let the light in. I also have a lot of plants in my home that my kids actually take care of because I don't have a green thumb, but that gives them responsibility to take care of those plants, but it also surrounds them with the beautiful things that God has made for us and lets that light in to get them out of that darkness that they might be clinging onto, or helps them feel better.
Something else too, when the weather's good, I'm sure you encourage them to go and exercise outside and do whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, we take family walks and we have conversations. It's a good thing to do also for that one-on-one time, that interview. And it always leaves me feeling refreshed, and them too. So absolutely. My next point is cozy places. So we all cannot remodel our home to make it look like stunning and so super cozy all the time. But if you can do that, consider maybe remodeling part of your home if you want to make that a little bit cozier. So what we did, because that wasn't feasible for us, is I gave each of my children a spot, a hangout spot. Usually it's in their room. Now we all have shared bedrooms, so it was a little bit of a challenge, but each of my kids has a reading nook. They have a bookshelf with books on it. They have a rug and they have a pillow, and this is their cozy spot. But I have seen them not only just read in this cozy spot, but retreat to this place that is 100% theirs. This corner, this nook, this cranny of my home, that is theirs. They go draw. They bring toys there to play with, or they go there when they just need to de-escalate. But it is their spot. And it's not just a timeout. It's just a place for them to hang out and just regulate their feelings and emotions. And this has helped us so many times for them to go there and then come back when they're ready to talk and have a conversation if they need to.
Just like you take a timeout, they can take a timeout when they want to just be themselves and be with themselves and work through whatever. I think that's an amazing idea. I think all of us can incorporate that, and it'd be a good thing for our families.
Yes. And it is self-done, but I don't have to say, go to your cozy spot or go to timeout. They just naturally begin to do it. But these are my seven things that we have done in our home for my children. And I hope that it helps other parents, moms, transform your homes into these sanctuaries of love and respect, and helps you all find some peace. Because I know it is so difficult out there with a lot of noise from the world, outside world, that we have to shield our children from those things. And if we do these things, I know that they will help us point our children in the way that we should go. So thank you so much, Deanne, for having me on today and letting me share these points and these tidbits of information that I have learned.
Katina, thank you so much. I want to review them. There's only 7 points, and I think maybe we don't plan on getting them all done this week, but incorporate these into your family. Attitude, service, meeting the needs of your family, including physical, emotional, social, and intellectual. Create organization in your family, which is a hard thing when you have a big family, but I like the idea of set the timer for 10, 15 minutes and everybody works together. And spirituality, bringing a sense of peace to your family. Nature, I love nature, so I'm all off of that one. And cozy places, we all enjoy cozy places when we have a chance. These are great ideas. Thank you so much for sharing these with us. Do you have a contact information that you'd like to share, a website or anything?
Sure. So if you go to Amazon, my book is on Amazon. It's called Hindsight, A Story of Faith and Family. If you search my name in Amazon, Katina Alami, you'll find it right there at the top. Also, if you want to keep up with my family and some different things that we're doing and trying out, you can get on Facebook/Hindsight Story. And that is my website that I use to update people with our family's information.
Well, thank you. I'll make sure that information is in the show notes so our listeners can look on that. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing these very seemingly simple principles with us that we can improve the attitude within our home. Is that a right word for it? Improve the attitude or the feelings. I like that you said it's making your home a refuge, a peaceful place. And that's what we all want, that we can grow together and join together and be happy as a family. Well, thank you again, Katina, for joining with us.
Thank you.
This has been a great episode with Katina. Katina was one of the speakers who was scheduled to present on Friday afternoon during our national convention in Omaha, Nebraska. But we spent that afternoon in the tunnel underneath the hill in Omaha during a tornado watch. So we were not able to listen to Katina. Or last episode, we had Yolanda and Lene, and also the next couple podcasts and the Mom to Mom Facebook Live episodes will present the speakers who were supposed to have presented during convention. So if you were not able to attend the convention, you have a bonus because we will be sharing their presentations with you through the podcast and through the Mom to Mom speaker series on Facebook Live. Next week, I am excited to introduce Angela Myers, who is the chair of the Mom to Mom on the national level. She has great vision and brings energy to the Mom to Mom program. She has a bachelor's in psychology and a master's in family life. I know that she has experience that she's going to bring to us next week as she shares with us the concept of taking our children from couch potatoes to hardworking, responsible kids who are prepared for life. And don't we need that now? How do we help our children and sometimes ourselves be better prepared for life? And she has some great things for us. So join us next week on Mom to Mom Facebook Live on American Mothers Inc. page with Angela Myers for From Couch Potatoes to Hardworking Responsible Kids Who Are Prepared for Life on Facebook Live, American Mothers Inc. at noon Eastern Time next Tuesday. Have a good week.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. If you like what you heard, subscribe so you can get your weekly dose of mom-to-mom encouragement. We understand that being a mother can be overwhelming, but we hope that you found something useful you can apply to your own life. We invite you to share this episode with a friend who might also enjoy the message. The mission of American Mothers is to support mothers, empowering them to positively impact their families and communities. We want each one of you to discover and share your innate, inherent, and natural abilities to bless your children and others.
The primary purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. The views, information, or opinions expressed during the American Mothers Mom to Mom podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of American Mothers Incorporated, its members, or employees. AMI is not responsible for, nor does it verify the accuracy of the information contained in the podcast, nor does the series constitute any professional advice or services. We look forward to visiting with you one mom to another next week. Until then, just do your best at mothering, and remember, you're not alone. You've got an army of mothers all around you, cheering you on.